Okay, it's 9 o'clock Wednesday, and today is the 10th of May in the Courtroom Observers conference call. And doesn't look like there's too many people here, except for Robert. So I don't know if anybody has anything to report, but if Robert would like to start it off, please go ahead.
Well, let me tell you who I am.
Okay.
I'm Robert Bristow. I'm the national coordinator that's overseeing this committee. This is the first call I've been able to get on to, but I will be coming in each week now.
Okay, great. I usually listen to you. You're on the Thursday night call, right?
Yes.
Yeah, of course. I know. I listen to you all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, I have courtroom observers and the committees of safety and the welcome committee that I oversee.
Got a lot on your plate there.
Well, that's not the only thing. Much more than that. But that's why I don't get in or haven't been getting into the meetings prior to this. I'm just getting everything rearranged to where I can be in here. I have a few things to say. I was hoping there would be a good bunch of people here.
Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't see too many people.
No, I don't either. I'm in the monitor room, so I see it too. And I'm kind of disappointed at what I'm seeing so far. We're going to make a change to there and get some people in here.
That would be
one
nice.
It's one of the things I'm here to look at. We got to get some excitement for the courtroom observers going. I want to explain a few things to the people as far as what it's all about and how to win these some of these cases.
You're going to be preaching to the choir right now.
Well, I've personally gotten charges thrown out for people just because I'm there doing what I do.
Well, we need to learn a lot more about that.
It can happen. One person can make a difference. However, it's better if we got
three or four.
Several in the courtroom at the same time. But it matters how we dress. I mean, not everybody can dress in a suit and tie, but it's preferable. If they can't, then they need to at least look nice, be clean, and try to always wear a button-up shirt and smile. The smile's not for them so much as it is for ourselves, but it makes them think that you know something that they don't know, and you're not going to tell them. And you're not going into the courtroom to talk with the prosecutors and the judges and everything like that, unless, of course, they talk to you and then just answer them politely, simply. Don't go into detail about anything. About the only thing they might ask is, who are you and are you with an organization? You just simply tell them that you're a courtroom observer and I'm with the National Liberty Alliance, and just drop it. Let it go right there. But we need to make a show when you go in with a clipboard and let them see that you're writing down the judge's name and all the information, a prosecutor, if you know who it is, make a show that you're taking notes. That gets them worried when they see you taking notes. They hate it when a courtroom observer is in there. And if this is why it's nice to dress up and look nice, because then they know you're somebody, or at least they think that you are, and it worries them.
Yeah, well, if you show them respect, then hopefully they will show you respect.
Oh, they'll show you respect. They're not going to...
I don't really believe that either.
They're not going to show you disrespect, but...
I've had that happen.
And you're not gonna show them disrespect. But I had one prosecutor kept walking back and forth past where I was sitting. He never said a word. But when the person I was there on behalf of was called up, the prosecutor said, "Your Honor, I have a great concern about this case." He says, "We've had a courtroom observer sitting in the court taking notes, and I think it'd be in the best interest of Oregon if we drop the charges on this man." And they did. So they were nervous. They knew that they were not being constitutional, and they were afraid they were going to get caught. And that's what we want them to think. We want them to be nervous. But we're always respectful. I take it that you're leading this group at this time?
Well, I don't know about leading it. Laura asked me to cover her
while
she's on vacation. So,
yeah.
You know, that's all I'm doing at this point.
Is there anybody that works with her?
Well, I listen to her every Wednesday, but I don't really directly work with her.
Well, what I mean is there needs to be two of you. You know, because with two leaders, if one has to be gone, the other will be available, hopefully.
Well, I guess that's kind of what I'm doing now, because she wants me to... you know, send out the notices when we get them, that type of thing. So
right.
I have to look into that. So I guess by default, you know, I'm the co-leader then.
Yeah, we're gonna at some point here soon take a look at the process that we're using and see if we can help it at all. I'm hoping, you know, that we can have a good group of people here. We need people who are enthusiastic about it, because this is not just about showing up at court. It's important that people be there. It's important that they look as nice as possible, and it's important that they are respectful and take good notes, because you may need to take those notes and write an affidavit from those notes. You know, if you're picking out things that are unconstitutional, things that the judge is saying that is wrong, then you need to write an affidavit on what you overheard, what you heard in that court. And that can help the case. And so what you're doing there it's important that you know what it is that you're listening to. So I want to encourage everybody to know the Constitution so that you know when you hear something that's unconstitutional. There's quite a bit, you know, there's more to this than just being a body showing up at the court. And so the Constitution is very important in what you're doing. And while I'm on it, on Monday nights, you know, we have the Monday night call at 9 p.m. Eastern. Well, we also have another call at 8 p.m. Eastern. And the leaders of these committees need to be there. It's in the same room, same number. But either you or Laura, one or the other, or both of you need to be on that call.
Well, that's interesting. I know it has been mentioned in the past, but I noticed on the newsletter it doesn't mention anything about the 8 o'clock call.
Now, we're
publicized.
It's fairly new, and it's being organized, and what we're trying to do is organize everybody from the bottom up, and right now it's the top down, and we're not reaching everybody. So, you know, we want to reach all the way down to the new people just coming in and get them involved. And so we put out some good information, and we're training the leaders on how to do those necessary things to get everybody involved. Seeing there's 12. We showed 12 people is what we're showing. There should be many more, and we will get many more coming in.
That'll be great.
I want to establish some enthusiasm amongst you as a leader, Laura as a leader, and I would like to get those who are coming into the call to be enthusiastic about what they're doing. Just coming in shows me that there's interest and there is some enthusiasm. We just need to be excited about it, because it's more important than what you could ever imagine until you really start seeing what we can accomplish through the courtroom observers. We can help a lot of people, and that's what we need to do.
Okay.
And how long have you been with the courtroom observers?
Well, I don't know exactly. I mean, I call in every week and listen to the conference call. Formally, I've just been following it, you know.
Well, how long have you been a member of the NLA?
About 3 years.
Okay, well, then you pretty well know what we're doing and what all is going on. Have you been in on the website and read through information there, watched the videos?
Of course, I read something usually every day. I especially like reading the stuff in the docket because that, you know, gets me more acquainted with, you know,
right,
really what's going on in the courts.
And are you signed up to take the Constitution course?
Absolutely. As
a
matter of fact, I've already taken, some of the, I started taking it, but I always get sidetracked. But I want to get back on that again.
The Constitution or the civics course?
Well, both of them. I started, I believe,
both
on the constitutional course. I'm going to take the civics course later.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's fine with me. I just want you to be involved and to have some information about the Constitution. I would recommend that anybody that wants to know the Constitution, that they read through it, start to finish. It's not that long. Put it down for a few minutes. Pick it up and read through it again. All the way through. Lay it down and think about it a little bit. You know, let it enter the brain. And then go back to it again. And read the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. Then read each article by article, you know, just, and then once you're all through it again, I mean, then go through it and read it from start to finish, but take your time and just read it like sentence by sentence or paragraph by paragraph, looking for words that you don't really fully understand. Now, the Constitution was written so that the everyday common man could read it and understand it. It's not written in legalese. There's no trickery in there. But there is a lot more information contained in the Constitution than what you really think there is by just reading through it. And this is why I say, you know, to read sentence by sentence or paragraph by paragraph, looking for the words, because one word can change the meaning drastically. So make sure you understand every word that's in that Constitution. Look it up in the dictionary if you don't fully understand. And do that all the way through. Maybe write it down so that you can refer back to it. And once you've gone all the way through doing that, read through it again. I'm willing to bet that every time you read through it, you're going to learn something new until you become very acquainted with it.
Fred, would that be a legal dictionary or just a Merriam-Webster's?
Just a Merriam-Webster's, fine. Like I say, that Constitution not written in legalese. It's written in common everyday language. And so... I'd say to be going through it at least 6 times to really know it. Start looking at the powers, the enumerated powers of the government, and realize that if it's not enumerated, they don't have that power. That Constitution was written not to control the people, because the people wrote it. It was written to place restrictions on the government, to limit their powers. And we need to understand that. We the people, you might say, are the kings. Elected officials are the servants. They derive their just powers from we the people. They don't have any power without us granting that power to them. And so they have 18 enumerated powers, and that's it. They are not allowed to write a law that places controls our behavior. this is something that people don't, most people don't understand because of, you know, they haven't learned the Constitution, and they believe the hype that's been for years and years about the federal government being the all-powerful, and they're not. We, the people, hold the power. Next in line is the states. And the federal government is at the bottom of the list. That's not to say that they don't have some say over the states, such as state constitutions. They must be compatible with the federal constitution. If anything in a state constitution is repugnant to the federal constitution, it is null and void, the state one. But that's something that's very important for all our committees, all the people here throughout the NLA to know the Constitution. And so I want this committee to have an understanding of the Constitution. I don't expect you all to be pros at it, but have an understanding of it. Once you have an understanding of it, everything becomes much more clear. You understand when a judge says something that's unconstitutional, you know it to be unconstitutional. You know you need to make notes on it. And like you say, when you're taking notes, make a show of writing those notes. Myself, I make sure I hold my clipboard up like chest level and when I'm taking my notes so that they can all see me writing. They can wonder what I'm writing, what kind of notes I'm putting out there, but that's fine. They can wonder. I just want them to know that I'm taking notes, that I'm paying attention. Now, these meetings don't have to be an hour long. But they need to be, you know, they need to be on the subject, courtroom observing. Let's not let ourselves get off on a wild tangent into other things that are not applicable. There's enough calls. If we run out of information to put out on one of these weekly calls, then end the call and.
Hello.
And be ready for the next week.
Mm-hmm. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you? This is Crystal.
Crystal?
Yeah, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm trying to get a group together to go to court next week because they want me back in court again for this illegal mess, for this illegal foreclosure. And I just seen our Senator Blumenthal and Murphy, I guess they're fighting with Trump, and we've been all been calling them about this illegal foreclosure, which we are all aware that John Durash has sent them the letters, but again, they're not responding, you know, and I think this is the time where everybody needs to just, you know, like the people in my state, I tell them, they said, well, keep on contacting them, you know, because all this stuff is illegal and fraudulent, and so, you know, we're trying to get the people in the courtrooms and stuff like that again. It seems like they're downsizing. A lot of material seems like they're being shredded. Now they're telling us when we need any material or whatever, we got to file and go to Hartford, which is like, you know, a good hour or somewhat away. There's a lot of crazy things going on, you know.
Well, do you have any of the National Liberty Alliance courtroom observers going into court with you?
Well, that's what I definitely want to get some more. I'm calling other people, but as I said, if they could put it out for Monday, I'd appreciate it.
Now, as much notice as possible is needed. I mean, the more advanced information that we have on when you're going to be in court, the better it is.
Yeah,
the short notice, it's hard to get the word out to everyone. Now,
yeah,
we have a chance, you say, for Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And our leader here on the call can help you with getting that word out.
Okay. Yeah, because it's just it's so bizarre what's happening, and like they're all under the heat right now from our Congress, our state rep, and everybody. I said, well, just call them, you know, text them. However, you know, we've been giving them the numbers and stuff like that, and they want everybody's ideas now. Because now people are speaking out in full force. So they got to come in at every kind of way. Like the cat calling the kettle black. They're all robbing, and they are all aware of what's been going on.
Well, can you give Mr. Culpepper the information on the court, where it's at, time of the hearing and everything? You already have it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, Crystal, I'll give you a call tomorrow to find out who we're going to send the notices out to and when.
Okay. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Yeah, as I said, we got some other things we can work on also. You know, and when we were putting calls yesterday through to Murphy's, Hines, Blumenthal's office, they're very receptive now, you know?
Well, we need to have people there taking notes so that we have, you know, that we have that information so that we have a log of it and maybe affidavits if necessary.
Okay.
Something to write affidavits from.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
and I told you about they messed up my medical records. I will be sending those over to John.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of crazy things that's happening here. You know.
Well, very good. You're going through a lot.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep myself together. You know.
Well, we all got to do that.
Yes, and it just keep on encouraging each other.
Yes. And that's what I'm doing on here tonight, is hoping to encourage people on the call to learn and to be excited about doing the job and to, you know how to do the job.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I'm truly appreciative, it's dealing with the National Liberty Alliance for the past, was it 3.5 years? It's been very educational. Some of the things I could connect because I worked in that particular field in the tax office and all. And, it's just wonderful just having this family of the National Liberty Alliance and helping each other. You know.
Well, that's what we are as a family.
Yeah.
I think in many ways we are.
Yeah, really. But it's very comforting. It's so reassuring. I think when I first came on board, there was like, 60 or 40-something people?
Yeah.
And then I heard them mention about it's up to 6,000.
Yes.
But it's steadily growing. So that's wonderful because people are all on the same page and people, enough is enough. You know?
Well, we're on the same page. We're just we need to get people involved in all the different committees that we have going. We need to have people involved and helping us to grow larger and to be smarter about what we do and to be knowledgeable on what's going on out there in the world. And so we all need to be helping each other. And we all need to, you know, well,
it was
say
funny.
We're brothers
I forgot
and
to
sisters.
Mm-hmm. I was at a board meeting the other night, and it was a full, oh, my God. They must have had about 500 or 600 people. The kids, because they want to take away the programs so the kids will have nowhere to go. So, you know, they asked me to definitely come and speak, so I did. And, you know, I said, we have a lot of resources. I said, starting from the lotto. I said, and everybody will sit there. They need, I told the parents, I said, right up to from the governor on down. I said, all the people losing their homes, the kids are losing. They're stealing all the resources from the children's education, summer program, and everything else. And I said, and number one, I said, I was telling them about the National Liberty Alliance. I also told them to, what was it? I told them about the National Liberty Alliance because somebody had made mention at the meeting that, oh, they're going to be taking the kids to the court and the judges and attorneys want to work with the students now. And I said, oh, how interesting. And we've been sitting there, you know. That did come out also. But I got quite a few of the parents' names and numbers, and they took mine. What else? There was something else I was going to tell you. I told them, I said, know your laws. Know your constitution, know who's representing you. I said, starting from this Board of Education, from the Common Council, to our mayor, to your state legislators, and our governors. And I said, and the ones who go down to Washington to represent us. I said, know your history. And also, the most important thing, you have to start learning and knowing your constitutional laws. You know,
well, make sure that you're telling them that we have the constitutional course. Give them the website.
Right.
And tell them to also look at the committees of safety and learn how they can unite with other people to bring about change.
Do you know what else I needed, if anybody has it? You know those little booklets?
Pardon?
The common law?
The common law courts?
Right. You know those little booklets? The handbook that we used to have. Because I had given all mine out. And I'm sorry?
For Jerison.
Go ahead, John.
No, it's just our standard common law handbook for jurists and sheriffs. And
right.
We're
right.
Out of print right now. We have sold them all. I think we bought 55,000 of them last time, and they're gone. And we don't have enough money to buy another 55,000, so we haven't purchased another. But there is a revised manual on the website they can download.
Okay. How much is it? How much are they?
We don't have any to sell. The one on the website's free. You can download it and distribute it, whatever you want to do.
Okay. All righty. But I'm just saying, just in the event, if something came through, how much would it cost?
Well, what were they, $35 for 100, something like that, were they, Robert?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
so it's like $5,000, $10,000?
No, we bought them in a volume of 55,000, I think it was.
So how much
That's what the NLA did, is they bought large volume like that, and then they could break them down into small packets for the members.
It's something like 18,000 to buy that lot, I think.
Okay, all right. Just, you know.
So, but we do have, like John says, we do have it on the website that can be downloaded and folded on your own, made into the booklet.
Okay. Because teachers and all of them are interested, so okay. Thank you for that. And school is getting ready to come out, so we want to put some things in place right now. That's what we're working on.
Well, you see, the biggest thing, you know, we need for people to unite.
Right.
And that's what we're doing through these committees, is uniting people.
Mm-hmm.
This will be the courtroom observers, the the committees of safety, the welcome committee, we're uniting people.
Mm-hmm.
And once we're united, then we are a force that we can do much more with. And through committees of safety, then we're uniting not just the members, but the people in the county, in every county, in their own county. So we're bringing the people of every town together. And once we have the people brought together, united like that, then we can start controlling our elected officials to a greater degree.
Exactly. And it's funny because I got a call. Everybody's been getting a call tonight up in our way. And they were asking about what kind of job. They said, this is a we're recording you. What kind of job do you think President Trump is doing? And I just hung up the phone on him.
Well, I think he's doing a wonderful job.
Well, as I said, some of the rhetoric things that come out of his mouth and things, and it's just so disrespectful for children and for people. You know,
now,
we are adults.
The man is very smart. He has his own way of being a leader, but he's been very effective, actually. And he's somebody that we need to get behind and support, because he is... You may not know it, but we are supplying him with information. We're keeping him updated on a regular basis on everything that's happening out here. And he is actually doing some of the work that we've asked him to do. And so we need to be supporting him. And it takes time. It takes time to get everything done properly. But he is working.
He's very
on
offensive.
Problems.
He's very racist in the way he talks to people. I mean, he was here in this city, and it was horrible the way
he's a New Yorker.
I'm sorry?
I say he's a New Yorker. He's one of those with a gruff tone. And
it's not what you say, and you feel you can sit there and mistreat people. He said some really horrifying things throughout the years, long before this fool was running for president. And
well,
as I said,
you know
where he's coming. One thing I'll say, he didn't lie. You know where he's coming from. And as I said, he's very offensive to women. He's offensive to everybody. And that's
by knowing that.
Yeah. It was no shock.
You understand who he is, but you got to
I understand where he's coming from, but. I don't have to accept where he's coming from.
No, you don't. But underneath all of that, he's not a politician.
Yeah.
And he's doing what he said he was going to do. And I think that, I may be totally wrong about him, but after what we've been through for a lot of years, I'm glad to have him.
So, I can't say it. I mean... It's very painful to me because I grew up with hateful people like that.
That's not good. But I don't put you down for not liking him. Everybody has their own
opinion.
They have to all make their own decisions on him. But I just happen to like what he's doing. I don't go with all the offensiveness and everything. But
what is he doing about the medical? And all these other things, what is he doing, really?
Yeah, but what are you hearing? You're hearing what the liberals are putting out. Give it a chance for it to all iron out. And, right now it's not – the new medical is not out. It's in the House. I'm not in the House,
right.
But in the Senate. And until they're done with it, we don't know what's in it.
Yeah.
And so we can't judge that yet. But he has done a lot of things, and he is helping the NLA in several ways, and he is,
okay.
Yeah, and he is helping the ranchers and the farmers and whatnot out here in the West, because you know it's you've heard us talk about what's going on out here in the West as far as land grabs and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he's shutting all that down, and bit by bit, we're getting our rights back. And he's got a ways to go, but it seems like every day he's doing something more to
I did hear one thing back in February where he had all the sheriffs down in Washington.
Yeah, well,
and when he took a stand, he goes, "Yeah, and these judges are, yeah, I don't know what you want to call them," and I'm like, "Oh my God!" I do recall him saying that.
Just listen to what he has to say and pick out what he's doing that's good, and you don't have to like everything. But, you know, pick out what's good and be happy that he's doing some good. Even if he does some things wrong, we will...
Well, he's bringing a lot. I'll tell you one thing. I have to say this. I said, little Donald, one thing, if people have never paid attention before about history, their constitution, or whatever, he put a switch up on everybody's head. Everybody.
Yep.
You know,
you betcha.
He did. Nobody else ever did that.
Well, yeah. And the things he's doing is going to help you in your court battles eventually too. So let's be glad he's making some changes that he is making, because it's gonna put a stop to a lot of these.
He keeps
judges.
Them all on their toes. That's for sure.
Yeah.
When he went up to Blumenthal,
we will get our constitutional courts back.
Mm-hmm. And see, Richard Blumenthal, he was our attorney general for the state.
Yeah.
You know? And I guess he's keeping everybody on their toes.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. They don't know what's coming next. They just know they better be on their best behavior.
Somebody better be.
So anyway.
Okay.
Let's get back to this courtroom observers thing, and let's work to grow this committee. Let's start working to get people in here. Let's make it interesting enough for people to come in and listen and speak their minds and to. You know, this is open. This is not just for people to come in and listen. If they want to speak, then they should have a chance to speak. And I'm open for people to be able to speak. I want to keep it on subject. And I saw you there, and I know what you're going through. And I just want you and the courtroom observers to work together and let's get some things done for you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, is there anything that you want to talk about? What's your first name, Mr. Culpepper?
Terry.
Terry. I'll try to remember that.
That's with the T as in Tom.
Yeah. Is there anything that you want to talk about tonight?
You know, there's so much stuff going on. Nothing really in particular. I am interested in what's going on in New York in that case, and the fact that, you know, they're basically, you know, it's radio silence from the court, and I'm just wondering what's going on behind the scenes with these people. You know, they're going to have to, poop or get off the pot. At some point.
Well, are you coming into the Monday night calls?
I list them every week.
Every week. Because you'll learn a lot by listening to Monday night.
Yeah, I have, and I'm just, you know, sitting on pins and needles here, kind of, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop, because...
Well, just know that right now, they're, the courts are kind of involved with the UN, the UN Charter for World Court Law, and it's... They've abandoned the Constitution pretty much, and it's the one thing that we have to stop. And it's one, it's we are working on that. And so the more we do in our committees, especially with the courtroom observers, you know, you can play a big part in bringing our courts back by not allowing them to get away with unconstitutional things. You know, you know the Constitution, you write, you make notes every time you hear them being unconstitutional. And if they do the, if they do some of the wrong things, then we have, then we can file charges against them based on your notes.
Oh, one other thing. Can I please interrupt one other thing, too?
Sure.
And it's so important about the court observers, and I learned this through here. And when I was going for my case a few weeks ago, and the attorney goes, well, the judge, this is all they want to offer you, and this is what's going to be. And I said, you know what? I want a common law grand jury. He said, what? I said, I want a common law grand jury. And another thing that struck my mind, I said, oh, my God. When they have people to come into the courtroom for this illegal foreclosure, there is no judge, well, it's just the judge and the attorneys. There's no grand jury, and the case is already, they settled their minds, and the case is already,
Well, that's exactly what's going on.
Right.
And this is
so,
what we're fighting.
Okay.
This is what
so
we're
when
up
I
against.
Go, when I go this week, I'm going to say, I want a common law grand jury for this illegal foreclosure.
Absolutely.
And I think if everybody starts going into court, and also for motor vehicle accidents and all these other things, I want a common law grand jury. And I realized I could have did a better job representing myself than the attorney that they put that as a trustee that I had to have. He botched
Absolutely.
The whole thing up.
And that's what they do. The judges and the attorneys in so many cases are working together. And
exactly. And see, when we were in the courtroom, they didn't want to tell me, and I went up to the sixth floor, and they were just behind the scene making their deals or whatever. So when I asked for a common...
Day.
Yeah, but the common, and that's... No, any case, I don't care whether it's a foreclosure case, an accident case, whatever kind of case, you want a grand jury. And that's something I think we really got to emphasize to all the listeners and all that.
Demand your rights.
Exactly. But
if
when they open their mouth and say
that,
you know what? Because when I said it, and I was so angry at that attorney, it happened on a Monday. And they go, well, you can't have that. And I said, I spoke to a trustee. They called me. Okay, we're going to have a grand jury. I got it within one day.
Yeah, well.
So
gotta,
it was Monday. I demanded it. Tuesday, they prepped me. Wednesday, they had to do the deposition. Thursday, we were in court. I said, it took me 13 years to get to that one day. And that's all I had to say is I want a common law grand jury. They were jumping through hoops.
Yeah, it's a battle, it's a fight every day for people, and I applaud you for standing up and demanding your rights and what you want, and we've all got to do that. We've all got to learn that it's okay to demand our rights.
Right, and you know, and Monday I went on a common law grand jury.
Well, it's
What do you think?
It's your right. It's your right. Keep demanding it.
Okay.
There is something I'd like to mention. I've been, you know, struggling with, you know, the mission of setting up a committee of safety, and I came upon an idea a few weeks ago after reading this article, I think it was in the Daily News, about the enormous amount of money that are being siphoned off of these estates of people who have not left
a will.
In New York and Queens, they have this one administrator, and I keep in mind that he does not work directly for the state. What happens is these court employees who are in charge of the department hire these outside administrators to administer the estates. And this hit a nerve with me because, you know, my father's estate was basically stolen by a courtroom administrator in New Jersey. And I was shocked at the money that's involved here. The Queen, this fellow who's working for the Queen Court was making $10 million a year. You're talking professional athlete type of money.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very interested in finding out who's getting all this money.
Well, it's we know who's getting all the money.
It's the attorney, judge of the novel.
It's all out there, and ask that question to John on Monday night.
Well, I think what we need to start doing along with that is to start filing, well, in New Jersey, it's called an Open Public Records Act request, and find out where it's all going, you know, because even the article said this is very low-key. Most people aren't aware what's going on with this money.
Well, see, that's why they do not want people. See, remember, I think I had mentioned to you, even like from my mother, when she died back in 96. And I told, like, because when I started working for the city, it was back in 1975. So I learned all that. And the life use, air property, life use, the trust account, even like, as I said, like for the example, like with the Kennedys and Rockefellers and Trumps and all them, they all have the trust account, which we definitely need to learn more pertaining to that.
Well,
but the life use.
These are things that we know what's going on. We know where the money's going. And,
right.
Can I finish this before?
There's something very important I have to say. We had that attorney, this was back in, when Atlantic City, I guess, first opened or whatever. When was that, back in the 80s or whatever? And we had this judge, I think it was out of Danbury, Connecticut, a probate judge. That's why everybody wants to be a probate judge. And what happened, he had over, I guess, about $75 million worth of estates that he was in charge of. He blew everyone's money. And when the people were screaming about their estates being settled, I guess he gambled in between Atlantic City and Vegas or whatever. He ended up committing suicide. Come to find out, he wasn't, they're not even bonded. So I was always trying to follow whatever happened or became of that case with that attorney, that probate judge, you know, and the people. Because I remember they had it on the news for a while about the people losing their probate money and stuff like that. And he blew all their, you know. And all these attorneys or judges want to be probate because they get almost right now, any time somebody dies, they get, I think it was close to 50,000.
It's all part of the corruption. And it's all being fought. Now, let's now until the next Wednesday night, let's think about, especially yourself, Terry. I don't know when Laura's going to be back, but be thinking about what what do you want to talk about on Wednesday night? You know, that concerns the courtroom observers. Let's get some thought to what we need to bring out. And let's get some discussion going here on this call about courtroom observers and what we can do and how we do it and everything. Let's try to get as many people as we can coming in, and let's make it interesting for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the end of the hour now, and it's time to be closing this off. I just let's see here.
Robert?
Yes?
I had a few things I'd like to add here in a few minutes, if I could.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, just for the record, Terry's been on these calls about as long as I have, so I've known him for a long time. He's always on the Monday and Thursday calls. Now, he mentioned that the announcement for the 8 o'clock Monday night call, board committee, whatever you want to call it, is not in the newsletter, and the reason that I hadn't put it in the newsletter is because John, every Monday night on that call, stresses that each one of the committee heads and so on, people that are there for reporting, need to have a backup. And I had assumed that Terry would have been brought up to speed by Laura on that. Do you know how long she's going to be gone, Terry?
Yeah, about a month.
About a month, okay. Okay, so you're on the hot seat then, I guess, for the next month, and I'll go ahead and
put it. It's already been 2 weeks now, so maybe a couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, you're halfway through, so I'll put a note in the newsletter for people so they're aware. Now, Robert was exactly correct when he said the Constitution and so on, the Bill of Rights, were written in plain text. The only problem that we have with that is common words. Sometimes have a change in meaning or usage over the years, the last 230, 40 years. So we have on the website, under education on the blue banner, if you click it, the drop down will come up, click on books. And there you can find Bouvier's Dictionary of 1856, which will take you halfway back. And that's a download. And once you download it, you can use Find to scan the whole thing quickly and easily. It's much easier than a paper dictionary. And there's also a copy of Black's Law there, 1,335 pages of it, if you have the patience to download it. And that also is a great asset because you can use Find to search that whole thing. Now, one last comment. Last week, I think it was, I was digging through 108 different Committee of Safety people. And I was finding the problem we always have in that people change their telephone number and they don't go to their My Account and change it. They change their email address and they don't go to their My Account and change it. And so when you go to track them down, you can't find them. So I had about 20, 25 people I couldn't track, so I was going through old phone numbers. I ran across a fellow in Washington State, and I don't remember his name out of that 108, but I think I can track him down for you. He was signed up as a Committee of Safety organizer out there, and I forget if he's Eastern or Western half, but he was also telling me, oh, we're having a great time out here. I think he had a Committee of Safety started, and he was also doing a lot of courtroom observing. He said something like they had stopped something like 25 to 35 cases so far, and we're having a great time. He said they shut down one court completely for a while. So I was thinking maybe we should track this guy down and get him on the courtroom observer call and see what he's doing in the courts that he's so successful for. He might be a good source.
Yeah.
So I'll throw that open to the crowd.
We'd love to have him on the show here or on the call here to talk to us, find out what he's doing.
Yeah. Okay, I'll see if I can find his number and his name and give him a call.
Absolutely.
Hello.
That's all I've got. Yep.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, my name is Sue from Missouri. I was just wanting to ask a question. It is my fourth time listening to your calls, and I do have a question on, you guys ever heard of the Rockefeller Doctrine that they're using in the court?
Yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's how we had they denied our appeal in the 10th court because of that on the unlawful forced removal from our home after the unlawful foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just wonder, is this the time that we can ask, what is there something else that we can be done about that, or should we wait for another call?
Well, we do have a committee that's working with foreclosure.
Okay.
And they probably have better information.
So,
I would take your questions to the Monday night call. What you can do is you can send a question into questions, send it by email to questions@nationallibertyalliance.org. The committee that's handling the non-judicial foreclosures is there for people that wish to file with us. And you go to the website, go to the grand jury tab, click on non-judicial foreclosure, and it has 9 different steps there you go through. One thing you have to do is file an intake form. You have to file an affidavit with us and so on. Once you do that, once you start that process, they will get back to you with things that they need that aren't on your affidavit or your intake form. But the real questions as to any legalities or things like that, it belongs in the Monday night room. Okay?
Okay. One more question, please. Since it's not the non-judicial, it was the judicial foreclosure. Does that matter?
Did you have a trial by jury?
No, I didn't.
Okay, then it's a non-judicial foreclosure. You were denied your rights.
Okay, great.
You qualified, yep.
Thank you.
I would like to mention one thing about Rooker Feldman. This is a tactic that the federal courts use to deny people their due process. If for example, somebody gets they're violated on the state level, they want to bring the case into federal court for a federal constitutional violation. What the federal courts say is, well, it's already been decided at the state level. You can't bring that up here. So if that's the case, then what you have to do is you have to do a collateral attack on that judgment, which is separate from the court, state court proceeding.
Okay. That's what happened.
Right.
Okay. All right. I will send in some questions and listen in on Monday, Lord willing.
Yeah, okay.
Looking forward to them.
Thank you.
Robert, do you know James Thurston? Washington State.
James Person?
Thurston, T-H-U-R-S-T-O-N.
I've heard the name, but I don't know the person personally.
Yeah, I think that was the fellow that was a Committee of Safety member but was doing a lot of courtroom observer work. I've got his number. I'll give him a buzz.
Okay, yeah, that'd be a good person to bring on here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Is there anything else?
Not for me.
Not for me.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording.